Well, good morning, everyone. Good to be here with you again this morning and to have the opportunity to share the Word of God with you. Probably a lot of you know that I wasn't here last week. Angela and I were in Newfoundland. We were at Revive Church, and the reason why we were there was we were there for their third anniversary of their launch. 3 years ago, Ange and I were there for the very first Sunday. For those of you who don't know, Sheldon and Candace Reed, they are some of our ministry partners here, and we have been a big financial support and support in other ways. They're part of our Global Impact partner. They're one of our partners there, and so we have been supporting this church plant. Ange and I were there 3 years ago to help launch the plant. And Sheldon and I were sort of laughing on the way from the airport to his place, talking about, you know, it was 3 years ago that we were there to launch this church, and if we only knew at that time that a pandemic was just around the corner. And he was saying, it's a good thing that sometimes it's good that God doesn't tell us everything, because if we had known, we had never have launched the church. You know, they say about 80% of church plants fail. Well, I've got great news for you. Revive Church is thriving. And yeah, I was excited by that. They have about 75 to 80 people that are attending faithfully every week. They've got other people that join them online every week from different parts of Newfoundland. And Sheldon travels every 5 or 6 weeks to go and minister in some of these places around Newfoundland that are joining in with them. Sheldon made a big announcement to their church on the Sunday that this would be the last year that Global Impact supports them financially. We had committed to Sheldon that we would support them until they could get on their feet. And Sheldon's reporting to us that they are getting on their feet. And also he announced that they were going to be establishing their own board. Of course, when you start a new church plant, there is nobody to have a board with. And so he's had an external board, but they are setting in two members of their congregation into their board. So they're going to be locally financed, locally governed. That was an awesome news report to hear. So I want to tell you that the church expressed over and over their gratitude to Ange and I for Harvest City Church, for being their main means of support for these last 5 years, and for helping them in so many ways. And you know, I was blessed to just kept saying, Lord, I'm so grateful to be a part of a church that can be a blessing like this, and to be a part of this process. And so, Lord willing, we will have Sheldon and Candace come to our April Global Impact Celebration. It's on their calendar, and we'll have them here one last time to get sort of an updated report and to officially say our goodbyes to them as partners, but certainly our relationship is going to continue. I watched the service from this church here last Sunday online, and looks like you guys had a great time. Sometimes I think I should just stay away. It seems like when I'm away, it's better. And Dave was on fire last Sunday and had a great message on Thanksgiving. But today I'm going to continue with the series I started 2 weeks ago that we're calling Lids, Lifting Off Limits. I'll give you a little recap. In the first message, we talked about the fact that every person has certain lids on their life that they'll have to break through in order to become who God is. Intends them to be. Every church, every ministry has lids as well. Some of the lids are external lids, but usually the most significant lids that we have to break through are internal, that are tied to our belief systems, how we see ourselves and how we see God. We have a great enemy, the devil, who Jesus calls a thief and a liar and a destroyer. And he wants nothing more than to keep us bound and to place lids upon our lives. But Jesus is the great lid lifter. Even the grave couldn't hold him. The stone in front of his tomb was rolled away because he is the resurrection and the life. And Jesus loves nothing more than to destroy the works of the devil. He came to set captives free. He came to open prison doors. He came to give us life. He takes what the enemy meant for evil and turns it for good. And because of who he is and because of what he accomplished on the cross and because of the power of the Holy Spirit that he places inside of us, we can bust through the lids on our lives and become who he has created us to be. In the first message, we spent our time looking at one of the big lids that I think is often one that limits all of us, and I called it the grasshopper mindset. When we have this mindset, we often call ourselves names that are tied to how we see ourselves. But we saw that God is a name changer. He calls us according to who he created us to be. He turned Simon into Peter, Abram into Abraham, Sarai into Sarah, and by changing their names, he broke the lid off of their lives. When the Holy Spirit speaks truth into our souls, and when we come into agreement with it, those lies lose their hold on us. As I mentioned, Peter was one of the guys whose name was changed. Jesus called him a rock, but initially he was anything but a rock. But a transformation began to take place in Peter's life, and he became who Jesus called him. He was instrumental in the birth of the church. He wrote a couple books in the Bible, including 2 Peter, where he said some interesting words regarding transformation. I find them especially interesting in light of the journey that Peter went on to become who Jesus called him. I want to read these words to you today because they set up where I want to go this morning. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Peter writes, "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires." You know, sometimes the enemy whispers in our ear and he says things like this: "You will always be this way," or "You can't do this," or "You can't do that." But Peter says here, and he's speaking from his own personal experience, that God's divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Through this power, Peter says, and through our knowledge of him, we can become who God has called us to be and break free from the chains of this world. That's good news. You know, one of the reasons why we pray for people and why we lay hands on people is that we believe in the supernatural power of God to break chains. I can look back in my own life at some of the powerful encounters I've had in the presence of God where things were broken off my life, and when I heard God change my name, those power-packed encounters have become defining moments in my life. Knowing that God has the ability to change us gives us hope. Everything is possible because of this power. But Peter doesn't stop here. You see, this is only one side of the coin. There is another side to the coin, a side that I'm going to call our response side of the coin. Our response and our decisions meshed with the power of God are what bring the change and ultimately lift the lid off our lives. And so Peter continues, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." How many of you want to be effective and productive? I know I do. To me, that's a life where the lids are lifted off. And Peter is saying here, the power of God gives us everything we need to be who God has called us to be, so make every effort to respond accordingly. You know, we often talk about how God moves with the movers and goes with the goers, how his power is released when we step out in faith. But I want to say that it's the same with the lids that are on our lives. It's the same with those internal struggles and battles that we go through. When we see who God is and see that his power is available and make a choice to respond, then that power is released to enable to do it. We can't change ourselves in our own strength. We need the power of God, but we do have a part to play. In the book of James, it says, God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Is there power to resist the devil? Yes, but how is it released? It's released when we choose to humble ourselves and submit to God. God's power and our decisions combine to lift the lids off our lives. In this passage in 2 Peter, Peter talks about making every effort in a whole variety of areas. I think a sermon could be preached on every one of these areas and how it's part of lifting off the lids on our lives. But I want to focus on one area in particular in the time that we have remaining today, and it's this whole area of perseverance. Perseverance is on Peter's list. And I see making the choice to persevere as one of the biggest lid-lifting choices that we can ever make. Through personal experience and through examples that I see in Scripture, I've discovered that some of the greatest breakthroughs come on the other side of persevering through tough trials and circumstances. Some of the greatest breakthroughs are on the other side of perseverance. Paul wrote in Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Church, there are certain harvests that we only reap when we persevere through tough times. In 2 weeks, we're going to celebrate our 50th anniversary as a church. You know, we have many new people that are coming to this church all the time. Our connections class right now was so full, we had to tell some people to wait for the next one. New people coming all the time, and they walk in and they see everything that's going on in this church and all the ways that we're involved and, you know, the stability of our leadership and these things, and they tell us how much they appreciate it. And they do, but I can tell you this, they don't appreciate it as much as some. Why? Because they don't know the journey that it took to get here. I've been here for about 35 of these 50 years. But there are some old timers in the room this morning who've been there for all of them. And those that have been here for a while have a story to tell about perseverance. You know, as the Newfoundland Church was thanking me over and over for our support, I had to stop and just thank God for a moment. You know, sometimes we have to pause and we have to reflect, and I think we're going to do that in 2 weeks, and appreciate where we are. You know, I'm absolutely amazed at the generosity of this church. It's amazing. You're one of the most generous churches I've ever heard of. It's the truth. And we often talk about the $4 million+ given to missions in the last 15 years. But there has been so much more than that. We have given outside of Global Impact through general funds as well. And, you know, I look around at these fantastic facilities. We're expanding on our property. We have a large staff. We're funding church plants, funding crusades, funding pastors' conferences around the world, blessing our city, helping Ukrainians, reaching into nations. I could go on and on. You know, where are my parents this morning? They're with a team of people at Morningstar Ministries setting in Attila as the next pastor there. We got prophetic people there and people ministering over there this morning. Where's Todd and Diane? They're ministering in Minnesota this weekend. Every weekend, somebody is going somewhere. I can't keep track of it. Church, do you realize the harvest we are reaping? We are Harvest City Church, and we are reaping a harvest. It's mind-boggling, especially amazing if you've been here for the whole journey. You know, I'm encouraging churches around the world. I was encouraging the Newfoundland Church who are facing the lid of a lack of resources. You know, they're looking for band members and some of these things. And, you know, I'm encouraging them that the power of God is available to help them if they'll just keep persevering. You know, people hear what we're doing, and I get asked sometimes as a pastor, how are you guys doing this? And then I tell them, you think that's amazing? You should hear our story. We used to be $2 million in debt. And then we were homeless. I tell them at one time, this church was on the verge of shutting its doors because it was such a mess. What happened? Some people decided to humble themselves and respond to the Lord with repentance and brokenness and resisted the devil. Some people made a decision to dig their heels in and persevere. Did they know how it was going to all turn out? I don't think so. Did they know the kind of harvest that was on the other side of their refusal to give up? I don't think so. They must have had some faith, but I think all would agree that God has done exceedingly above and beyond what they could have ever asked or thought. We need to remember. You see, often our greatest breakthroughs are on the other side of our trials. Our biggest harvests are often reaped as a result of perseverance. My friend Jeff always tells me that it takes about an average of 20 years to be an overnight success in business. Almost anyone who is successful in any way has a story of perseverance to tell. You know, something that I hear over and over from many people. People tell me all the time how much they love and respect my mom and dad. I hear it everywhere I go. People that I hardly even know come up and tell me how much they love my mom and my dad. People marvel at their wisdom and all they've accomplished. People, I notice, just want to spend time with them, listen to them, be counseled by them. It's great. It gives me more time. Are my parents gifted people? Yeah, they are. But if you were to ask them the primary reason for their success, I believe they would say their greatest ability is the ability to persevere. And I would tell you that's the truth from observing them. I think the way my dad was raised and his background, I think as a professional canoe paddler, helped develop this mindset of never quitting. I can tell you from firsthand experience that they have not lived an easy life. But they just never quit. And so they've lived a fruitful life. My dad has often said these words to me, "Don't you quit." It has been ingrained in me that quitting is not an option. Most of you know that my story of becoming a crusade evangelist is a story of perseverance. For every palace that God brings us to, there is usually, if not always, a journey of perseverance. The story of Joseph, of course, is the great example of this. So is there anything we can do that will help us to persevere? You know, sometimes we need some help to keep persevering. I think there are. So let me give you a few thoughts this morning. First one is this: embrace it. James 1 verse 4 says, "Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." One of the great principles that we see in Scripture is that God actually uses our trials to shape us into who he wants us to be. He uses our struggles to refine us and to break us so that he can mold us. There is a maturing that results from persevering. In the story of Joseph, we know he had this dream of greatness. It was his God-given destiny. But he wasn't mature enough yet to handle it, so God allowed him to go through the fire of a trial. If you would have asked Joseph, I think, at different stages of his journey, what the lids were in his life, he might have said this old well that I'm in, this slavery that I've been sold into, this prison that I'm locked up in. But as I've already said, usually our biggest lids are internal and not external. If Joseph was going to get to the palace, some of the pride and immaturity that we see in his early life was going to have to be dealt with. These were actually the bigger lids. And so God took him through a journey of perseverance in order to lift those lids off his life. What's interesting is that our view of what is the biggest lid and God's view are usually not the same. It's often in hindsight that we see this more clearly. Joseph, years later, said to his brothers who had betrayed him and sold him into slavery, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." You know, when I think about the harvest that we are reaping as a church, I don't think there is any way we are who we are today without having gone through what we went through. It has shaped us. The lessons learned in the persevering have shaped who we are. We were humbled, but where there is humility, the grace of God abounds. I think we often discover that what God was doing in us while we were waiting and persevering was actually more important than the breakthrough we were waiting on. You see, breakthrough can happen in a moment. Joseph, it says in Scripture, was quickly brought to the palace. His life changed suddenly. But the character that was forged affected every day of his future. Isn't it interesting that in the story of Joseph, he was always looking for a way out? You remember in the prison, the cupbearer, and was it the baker? "Remember me when you get back to Pharaoh." He was looking for a way out. I mean, who can blame him? The other day, Angela, when we got back from Newfoundland, we maybe was feeling a little guilty that we had left the kids alone for 5 days. And so she was cooking a big meal for them and figured they hadn't eaten well. A lot of fast food while we were gone. And so she had the ribs going and she had one of my favorite dishes, scalloped potatoes with some cheese going in the oven. But the girls had a volleyball game that night, so, you know, we need to get the food in. And I was hungry, and she kept saying to me, I said, "When are those potatoes ready? I mean, they look dry." I opened the oven door. They looked ready. The cheese was just perfect. And she said, I think they need more time. And I said, they look ready. And I took them out, and I scooped them on my plate, and I took a bite. And I thought, no, she was right. They're not ready. They're hard. I wanted them now. They needed more heat to make them soft, so back in the oven they went. Joseph needed a little more heat to get them ready. He wanted out. God said, "No, your time in the oven isn't done just yet." And he could look back and see that God was the one who was in charge of it all. Church, you don't have to understand it all. You just have to trust God and embrace the process. Which leads me to my second point. Remind yourself of God's character. It'll help you to persevere. You know, oftentimes in difficulty, we get angry at God, don't we? I know I have. But it's an arrogant position. Because somehow we think we know better than God, even though he has the benefit of seeing the end from the beginning. And we don't. We don't know what the future holds. But we do know who holds the future. We don't always know what God is doing, but we know who he is. And so here is the challenge I want to give us this morning, give you. Instead of viewing God through your circumstances, what if you viewed your circumstances through God's character? That would change your life. Viewing God's circumstances, or viewing your circumstances through God's character. When you do that, you will find the strength to endure. Is God good? Yes. Is he for you? Yes. Is he working all things for our good? Yes. Will he ever leave you? No. Just when you thought there was going to be another yes. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. No. This is his character. It's who he is. There's so many more things we could say about that. Instead of focusing on your circumstances, turn your eyes to Jesus and keep them on them. Isn't this one of the lessons that Peter learned on his journey to becoming a rock? He learned that when you get your eyes on the storms, you drown. When you get your eyes on Jesus, you can walk above the storm. You can overcome. My final point this morning is this. Remember where strength to persevere is found. David was a man who had to persevere through many trials before he became king in Israel. One of the trials was at Ziklag, which was raided, burned to the ground by the Amalekites. In the raid, the wives, sons, and daughters of David had all been taken captive, and the wives of his men were taken captive. The scripture says in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 4, so David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. Church, I think you know that I agree with this statement. There is nothing wrong with a good cry. There's nothing wrong with a good cry. Sometimes the things we go through in life bring such pain and such grief, they must be mourned. There is a time to grieve. But we can't grieve forever. And the loss isn't the end of the story. With Jesus, the story is never over. And so we have to find strength to move forward. David's men got bitter. And they turned on David in this time. It says in verse 6, David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of their sons and daughters. Church, the devil wants to make you bitter in your trials and pain. If he can make you bitter, he will put a lid on what God wants to do in your life and potentially destroy the lives of others as well. Bitterness comes when we refuse to embrace the process and fail to look at our circumstances through the character of God. But David had a different response. Instead of getting bitter, he got better. How? The verse continues. But David found strength in the Lord his God. He was different than the other guys. The biggest key in persevering is knowing where our strength is found. Is found in an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, in our physical lives, we get weak without food. We will eventually die if we don't eat. The same is true spiritually. Jesus said in John 6:48, I am the bread of life. When the other men were weak, they got bitter and wanted to quit and turn on David. When David was weak, he knew he needed to eat from the bread of life. There he would find strength to persevere, pursue his enemies, and overcome. Church, do you know where to go for bread? I was thinking of how often we get overwhelmed by looking at life and worrying about the future. We run through all these what-if scenarios and in our minds, and it steals our strength. It's placing our focus in the wrong place. And Jesus told us, don't do that. He instructed his disciples to not worry about anything, but trust him with everything. He said these words in Matthew 6:34, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. Corrie ten Boom said these words, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, it empties today of its strength. I was thinking of all of this in the context of Jesus being the bread of life. In the Old Testament, God fed the Israelites every day with manna that fell from the sky, and it was a prophetic picture. Everything that was happening with those Israelites was pointing to Jesus. There was so much imagery there. Jesus being our bread, our source of strength. But those Israelites were instructed to only gather enough for that day. Each day, the promise was God would give them fresh bread. Here's my point. Sometimes we get paralyzed trying to figure everything out. But God tells us not to do this because when we do, we lose our strength in the present. Instead, God says, I have everything you need. Today, I have fresh bread for you. Don't worry about tomorrow. You say, I don't know if I have enough strength to keep doing this forever. God doesn't want you worrying about forever. Can you get through today? Yes, you can, because God promises fresh bread for today. And when you get up tomorrow, there'll be fresh bread for tomorrow. When this becomes your habit, perseverance finishes its work, and one day you wake up and you realize you've stepped into the harvest that was found on the other side. Church, when you have cried your tears, turn to Jesus. Get your strength from the bread of life. Isn't that a powerful thought? I don't need to worry about tomorrow. I don't need to worry about the future. In fact, God tells me not to. What he says is, I have bread for today. You can get through today. Tomorrow, there'll be bread for tomorrow. You can get through tomorrow. Let me end with this beautiful verse and promise from Isaiah. We know, most of us know it so well, but every time I read it, it lifts me up. Isaiah prophesied these powerful words. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. In his understanding, no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weak. Even youth get tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. That's powerful. When you eat of the bread of life, you get wings. It's not Red Bull that gives you wings. It's waiting on the Lord. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? Persevere, church. Don't quit. Some of the greatest harvests are on the other side of our perseverance. We know that. That's the story of this church. If anybody should know it, it's us. Father, we come to you today. We ask you for strength to persevere. God, I'm sure I could interview every person in this church in the foyer and they could tell me a story of a struggle that they're experiencing. I'm sure that everyone in this room could say, you know what, in these last 6 months, I've wanted to quit, wanted to give up. Feel like I'm praying the same prayer. I'm sure everyone in this room, Lord, could tell about the whispers they've been hearing. But God, I pray today for fresh strength. I pray today for the right perspective. God, I pray today you'd forgive us for looking at our circumstances when you told us to keep our eyes on you. Father, forgive us for getting bitter because we haven't looked at our circumstances through your character. Father, we want to thank you for the living example that you've shown us in this church about how you bring the greatest harvest through perseverance. Amazing. And yet, God, we confess that even though we've seen this time and again, we still have doubts and we still get stupid. Forgive us for our stupidity. Lord, we want to be people whose eyes are on you, who remind ourselves daily of your character, who daily eat at the table that you've prepared for us. Father, I thank you that you are the bread of life. Lord, we bring you our worries. We bring you the worries about our futures, about tomorrow, about our kids, our finances, this and that. Lord, it's too complicated, too messy, too many details. Exhausting. And today, Lord, we make this commitment. We're just going to leave that with you. And we're going to trust you and thank you that what I need today, you've got it for me. And so, Lord, teach us this life discipline of learning to eat every day the daily bread that you are. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a great week. We will see you next Sunday.